see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome, dear kinswomen and dear kinsmen. Boy, oh boy. You know, I've been looking at this conspiracy, and I once thought it wasn't, I mean, it's worldwide and all that. I understand that. But I think what I'm realizing is the same thing I've realized about how many Jews there are in the world. This conspiracy is much, much bigger than we think it is. And it has been much bigger for a very long time. It seems that ever since, and I do believe that that is the time of Jacob's trouble, ever since they were let out of the ghettos by Napoleon, I believe the conspiracy doubled its movements at that time. Now, Freemasonry, the first lodge of Freemasonry in the UK was 1717. So things began pretty heavy. And it really, really snowballed. I mean, just within less than 100 years, the lodges, I mean, they just boom, you know, all over the place. Like, you know, the procreation of rats. It's the same old, same old. The vermin continually procreating and multiplying exponentially. I believe that at the point we're at today, the conspiracy is so big. It's much bigger than we think it is. I mentioned this, and I don't know how far we'll go in this particular book we're in. We might go all the way, we might not. But I'll tell you that we're going to read The Curse of Canaan, at least some portions of it. And the reason is, he talks about us as the people of Shem and these Canaanites and the carpetbaggers and the scallywags. You know, basically, our people have been very heavily involved in this. I'll give you an example how big this conspiracy is. I like to see, you know, when I'm done working for the day, I'll sit down and relax and I'll go through some of the old shows or old movies or something here and there. And one of the series I've never even seen before is called Sea Hunt. this was in black and white, and it was in the 50s. And I'm very fond of the 50s. Well, I come to find out that this Lloyd Bridges, now, it's very interesting to me, when you look at Lloyd Bridges, his forehead slants backwards. He looks like President Bush in a way. There's a certain same Jewish look in him. And yet they say he's not Jewish at all. But I don't believe it. Neither here nor there, I come to find out that he was kicked out of Hollywood at the same time when Myron Fagan was doing all that stuff with Red Hollywood, remember? And this fellow was one of them. He's a communist. And that means he's a traitor to this country, a traitor to our race, even though I don't think he's of our race. You know he has two sons, Beau Bridges and the other fellow too. And it's just odd to me because what these Jews do is they took this communist fellow and put him on television in this Sea Hunt thing. And his popularity exploded. So what kind of a show is Sea Hunt? What is this fellow? He's a scuba diver and he's an ex-Navy fellow and he's always helping out the government, always trying to help protect corporations. He's a just a good doing fellow, you see. And what it is it's to change your mind about this communist fellow. Just by showing him in a TV show that's not really real, you know what I'm saying? It's a technique. Let me tell you of another technique that I wanted to mention. I've been wanting to mention to you for a while. You know that when you see women, not all of our women, but most of our women are shorter than our men. Correct? Well, this kind of a thing presents a problem when you want to say that women are equal to men. You say, well, how? Well, if they're not as tall as us, they don't appear equal with us. So how could you change that around? And how was it done? I'll tell you. So this is something that's incredible that I'm going to tell you right now. What you do is, in your shows, your movies and everything, you find the tallest actresses that you can possibly find for much of the time. And then you find the shortest men. Then they look more equal in stature. Are you smiling right now? Yeah, that's what was done. Remember people like Mickey Rooney? And it just so happens that the Jew fits that parameter. Isn't that interesting? Like if you've ever seen the Three Stooges and seen them among the women tower over the Three Stooges. Right? That's a way of subliminal equality. See, it's hard to tell people women are equal to men, you know, and get the women to believe it if they're much shorter than the men. And they say, well, geez, I can see we're really not equal with men because they're a lot taller than us and a lot bigger than us and all that. That doesn't mean they're smarter. It just means that they're bigger in stature. So it's an illusion. You think of all the people, the Wild Wild West, William Conrad, very short fellow. All the different things. If you just think about what I'm telling you, it'll blow you away because that's exactly what they did. And what it does is it subliminally gets you to accept this women's rights, women's equal movement thing. You see what I'm saying? And it also helps the women too. So I just thought you should know that because maybe you'll be watching something or whatever, and you'll start to realize, oh. See, sometimes you'll see these old cowboy shows and these men tower over the women. But this technique is used. It's not used 100% of the time. It's used, though, for sure. Do you believe me? I hope so. Well, let's continue with the Red Network. We're on page 39. One such poster advertised We the People, quote-unquote, a play by Elmer Rice for the benefit of the militant socialist LID, in which Tittle, you remember we were talking about him last week, Dr. Tittle, he was of the Methodist Church, and they wanted to, he brought a bunch of Negroes into the church dance to dance with the white women. And he's, the Methodist Church was all for the equality of races. That tells you a lot about Mr. Tittle. Not one jot or tittle shall be. You get it? So, this play is praised by the communist press, the play being the We the People. It's praised by the communist press as an argument for revolution, quote-unquote. Others advertise lectures by George Soul of the New Republic, quote-unquote, on such subjects as the chances for revolution, quote-unquote, at the Chicago City Club, March 6th, 7th, and 8th, 1933, under the auspices of the Chicago Forum Council, of which Tittle is a member. Scott Nearing's communist lectures, under the same auspices, reconciliation trips to radical headquarters, and the October 23, 1933 mass meeting for the visiting French communist Henri Barbusse. That's B-A-R-B-U-S-S-E. Barbusse, I don't know how you say it. Whose pacifistic, quote-unquote, cure for war is bloody revolution. Perhaps most incongruous of all was the large poster advertising the Proletarian Arts Ball, quote-unquote, of April 15th, 1933, given for the benefit of the Communist International Labor Defense, Moscow's propaganda and legal defense agency to aid communist criminals, a dance given for the defense of communism, which means destruction of Christianity, and as advertised in a Methodist church. How do you like that? Now, let me explain to you about Chicago. Very interesting, isn't it? It is the hub of communism. It is in this country. Now, of course, New York is too. Oh, I have a fact for you that I got from Eustace Mullins while I was listening to the book. Did you know that New York was the 11th state out of the 13 colonies? They were the 11th to join. Now, you know that New York is the Edomite town, right? It's Haimy town, according to that Negroid, right? 11, I told you, is the number of the devil's children. We know about 9/11 and what happened and the buildings being an 11 and 110 stories high. You drop the zero, it's 11. I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. I mean, what are the chances that it would be the 11th colony? You know what I'm trying to say to you? So anyway, I thought you'd like to know that. I certainly, it raised my eyebrows. Let's just put it that way. So, this communism thing is so huge, as we can see, as we've seen in this book. It's everywhere. They're everywhere. No wonder the mob took up residence in Chicago and was able to do all it could do. You just got to picture the mob, right? And the Jews are running the mob and behind the mob, and they're also running the government of Chicago, so to speak, right? So you've got the police who want to take down the mob, but they're told to stand down like they do today. So they take down one here and one there and all that stuff to make it look like they're doing something, right? But you understand how this all works? See, they've got everything covered. And the police, as you know, the good police are, they get rid of them. Just like they get rid of the good people in the military, just like the good doctors, a lot of the good doctors, in case you don't know this, have left the medical profession because of it being the third largest killer and all that kind of stuff. So the good is driven out and the evil swarms in like a herd of, or a, whatever you call them, a bunch of rats, a pack of rats. That's what you call them. So they drive out the good and herd in the evil. Think on that for a while, because that's exactly what has been going on way before. I mean, this is going on. Communism had its big push in the middle of the 17th century, which is the 1800s. So this stuff has been going on for a real long time. Communism never flew, like I told you, until Darwinism. Because communism is anti-God, and so is Darwinism, right? So Darwinism was the thing that enabled communism and propped it up. Otherwise, it wouldn't have flown as fast as it flew. So those are things to think about. But I'm telling you, this thing is much bigger and there's more people involved. I mean, just think of this. Like, if your school, if the people that are teaching our children and the committees in the schools and all that, not every teacher, but you know what I'm saying? Not every, but they're even controlling the schools. I mean, come on. How big is this? This is big. So we continue here. One can only regret that men like this minister possess the gifts of glorious oratory, and of charm, and culture to bestow upon the socialist cause that their, here's the word, humanitarian, see how it slips into everything, sincerity gives them additional power. For no hate-filled, grimy communist, however sincere, did you know that mice and rats are grimy and slippery? They have like oil on them, like grease balls. You get it? No grimy communist, however sincere, cursing God and capitalism from a soapbox, could ever lure the church-going bourgeoisie into Marxism, as can a truly sincere and altruistic Christian, quote-unquote, socialist could. Yet both are leaders to the same ugly end, Marxism. Those repelled by the crude, who would shudder at raw Marxian doctrine, sit enraptured in a church to hear Marxism falsely embellished with adornments stolen from Christianity. Under the spell of soft organ music and dim religious light, they feel that whatever the preacher's direction, it must be toward heaven. And they remain oblivious of the fact or uncaring that the communist notices sent out by Satan's publicity bureau hanging in the very church, their very church, are calls to Christ's flock to hear communists like Henri Babou, advocates of Christ crucifixion and throat-slitting red revolution, preach communism as the way and the truth, quote unquote. I hope you're listening. See, if communism is the way and the truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, which one is the way? Which way would you take? See, it's another way. It's out of the way of the real way. You see? It's on the wide road that leads to destruction. It's a way. But is it the way that you would want to live? Is it the way that you want your children to live? I saw a picture about something very interesting, and it was about, it showed pictures of three different people, and it showed a fat fellow under capitalism, it showed a starving to death fellow under communism, and then it showed a fellow that was well built under fascism. Very interesting, isn't it? See, communism, when you know what happened to the people in Russia, and you know that they were going in carts every day, knocking on your door saying, do you have any dead? Because they only allowed the people one potato per family per week. And yet there were warehouses, as I've told you before, full of food, just like here in America, the same thing during the Depression. There were warehouses that the world had sent, warehouses of food, and they were just sitting in the warehouses. That's communism. So, as one sees the blind leading the blind into the ditch, one realizes that hell must indeed live up to its reputation of being paved with good intentions, quote unquote. That some Methodists are awakening to the issue now being forced within the church by radicals, and that they wish to cleave to the faith once delivered, quote unquote, into the Rock of Ages, rather than to the new social order of Marx and Lenin, is shown by statements such as that of Methodist Bishop Leet, which I have quoted under Christian Century, quote unquote, the survey of Bishop Lake revealing that the Methodist Church had lost 2 million members between 1920 and 1932, should also provide food for thought. Yes, let me tell you what I think immediately by that. 2 million members, that's a division. That weakened the church. That weakened the faith of these people. You understand what I'm saying? Of course, their faith was in the church. That's the problem. The fault certainly does not lie with the drawing power of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. News. There is a saying, when a dog bites a man, that is not news. But when a man bites a dog, that is news. Red meetings are constant occurrences in Evanston, Illinois. People either do not sense their significance or are used to them. It is not considered news that James M. Yard should at the same time be dean of the religious education of the Methodist Northwestern University, an active communist defending ACLU committee man. I told you that was a communist deal, right? And it just makes me realize something I've wanted to tell you. I'll finish this sentence and then I'll tell you. He also advertised John Reed Club speaker and an official sponsor of the Communist Revolutionary Chicago Workers Theater. One Methodist frowned upon the ordinary worldly theater. Now let me tell you this. When you talk about civil rights, and this is something I was thinking about, so it's great that the Father has seen to it these things come to my mind as I'm doing these shows. You see, the civil rights movement, this is going to blow your mind. It blew my mind. But you got to get a load of this. The civil rights movement brings in the uncivilized and says that they have civil rights. They have rights to be civil, like equal, right? They have rights to be civil, but they're not civil. You see what I'm saying? But they bring them in and say that the uncivilized have civil rights. Ah, think about that. I'll say it again. They bring in the uncivilized people into our nations, and then they defend their civil rights. These uncivilized people are called civil, and that they have civil rights. It's a game. It's a word game as usual. You dig what I'm saying? See, I read something one time and I've never come across it again, but it says that civil rights is like an oxymoron. It's foolishness. I kind of expounded on it at one point, but I can't keep every single thing, but I'm telling you that just what I just told you right there should be enough to make it. That should blow your mind. So, let's continue. Nor when the post of dean of religious education was abolished and Yard lost his position, was the public announcement by President Walter Dill Scott that Yard was not let go because of his radicalism in itself considered news. That Max Otto, a leader of the atheist movement, now this reminds me of something else I have to speak about. Back in the 60s, they used the Negro and Negro uprisings for their purposes, the Jews. The Negroes broke out all the stores and everything, and of course the insurance companies would have to pay for new stores and new windows, and everything gets upgraded a little bit, you see? Just like, did you notice they're burning down police stations? You know what that means, right? They'll build nice brand new police stations. That's the purpose of it. But also, not only that, it's amazing. You see, they're having this Negro uprising. They want to create a race war. They're trying to create food shortages so that there will be these uprisings. But do you remember what Albert Pike said? I mean, should I get it again? Yeah, I think I should, actually. It might take a sec or two, but let's just get it because... Now, listen. Here it is. I want you to listen, and I want you to think about what's going on right now and what's going on in this book. It's been going on for a long time. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agitator of the Jewilluminati between the political Zionists. Listen, don't fall away. Between the political Zionists and leaders of the Islamic world. That's the agenteur of the Jewilluminati, right? So it says, by fomenting this world war, by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agenteur of the Jewilluminati, between the differences between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. Do we see that happening? The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. Hello? But we're not done yet. You ready? We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. And, listen, we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm. Is that what's going on right now? Which, in all its horror, will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Listen now, don't get lost. Then everywhere, listen. The citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, the niggers, etc., etc., will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And then the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive, now listen, these so-called Christians will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out in the public view. The manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. See, I've read that before several times now throughout the years, but boy, it sure makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? Did you catch all that? I suggest you Google that up or whatever and read it yourself so that you really understand what I read. And you probably understood anyway, but I'm just saying, can you get over that? A social cataclysm against the world minority of revolutionaries? My, my, my. What a tangled web they weaved when they first practiced to deceive. All right, let's get back to the book. That was worth looking up, eh? My goodness. Unbelievable. So, that Max Otto, a leader of the atheist movement, should be engaged in successive years by his Methodist university to lecture to its students on such subjects as, can science recognize God, quote unquote, October 1933, and be praised and honored by the college paper for these addresses is not news. Nor is Harry Ward's address in praise of godless Russia at Garrett Biblical Institute, or the sale of World IWW, International, you know, Workers, you know, the, you know what I'm talking about, and other red literature at this Methodist college, YMCA News. But when following only two of the many red meetings held in Evanston churches, that's Illinois, a group of patriotic Americans gathered outside and sang America in protest against the sedition they had heard preached within. This was indeed as though a man had bitten a dog. It was news, and the newspapers featured it, of course. The first of these was the ACLU meeting held in Tittle's Evanston Methodist Church, and addressed by Carl Hassler, a teacher and official of the Communist Party's School of Revolution at 2822 South Michigan Ave, Chicago, and a fellow ACLU committee member with Dr. Tittle. Hassler ended his talk with a little story illustrating the ACLU viewpoint, frankly saying, "And so what we want is not more liberty, but more license." Yes. And that's what communism does. Imagine what I said to you before about the barber who had a license. And because they did the lockdown, the barber went out and he said, "I'm still going to cut people's hair because this is ridiculous." So they took away his license and shut him down. Now, even though they might not be saying that there, it does fit. In other words, "And so what we want," the ACLU, that is not more liberty, but more license. On the church bulletin board hung an announcement of communist Scott Nearing's lectures. Tittle attended this meeting. Inside the door of the church at the close of the meeting, a communist handed out leaflets reading, "A Lecture of Vital Importance" by Romania Ferguson, who recently returned from the Lenin Institute of Moscow. On Tuesday, January 17th at 8 p.m., at the Unitarian Church, well, we know about the Unitarians, like Fritz told us, right? We know that they're Satanists. They don't even believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. But let's continue. I'm sure somebody will say, "Well, I know a Unitarian." Yeah, sure you do. Fight for the freedom of the Scottsboro Boys. Join with the International Labor Defense. Auspices, International Labor Defense, Scottsboro Branch of Evanston. The patriotic crowd who had attended this ACLU meeting out of curiosity indulged afterwards in some arguments on the church lawn with red sympathizers, among them Catherine Waugh McCullough of the ACLU, who had presided at the meeting. But this would not have merited publicity, only that a young Red who intruded himself into the conversation, I was holding with friends attempted to slap my face when I contradicted him, and he was chased by my husband and some legionnaires. The attempted but unsuccessful slap was news. At the announced communist LILD meeting, which followed, the Reds were prepared to defend themselves against any patriotic utterances. Police were stationed inside the Unitarian Church. Listen. And one menacing-looking Negro in front of us pulled out his gun and looked it over before returning it to his pocket. Others had bulging pockets. A colored woman, see, a human woman, as officer of this ILD branch, announced that regular meetings were held in this Unitarian Church every first and third Tuesday of the month. Also that all of the 18 North, you know what I'm saying? North side branches of the ILD were expected to participate in a communist demonstration to be held before the Japanese consulate in Chicago the following week as a protest against Japan's war against the Chinese Soviets and Chinese Revolution. Now you see. So we see that the Unitarian Church and the Methodist Church are both involved with the communists, don't we? And of course, I can see the Unitarian Church, of course. And we also know that the Catholics are communists, don't we? And we also know that liberation theology is promoting communism. And it all comes from the National Council of Churches and the Federal Council of Churches. Let me just say this one thing here, too. When you hear the term federal, that's a communist term. Yes, the Federal Reserve is a communist organization. The federal government has become a communist organization, right? You can see it, can't you? It hates the people. It wants to kick God out. It's all for the children of the devil, unanimously. Federal. The Federal Council of Churches. The Federation of Space. Right? And the Klingons who want to hang on to the old ways. They want to cling on to the old ways. They don't want the New Deal. The Klingons are said to be evil because they don't want to embrace the change. Is this all connecting dots for you? It ought to be. I hope the gears in your mind are turning and thinking about all these things. Let's continue. When this demonstration actually took place, an army of steel-helmeted policemen was required to disperse the surging crowd of red rioters, which fought, we will unleash the nihilists and the atheists. The Negroes are also communists, right? The red rioters, get it? Riot? Is that what's happening now? Is that what happens when Antifa, the left red communist organization that is promoted and loved by the Jews and protected by the Jews and funded by the Jews and Freemasons? Hello. We will unleash the nihilists and the atheists, etc., etc. So, when this demonstration actually took place, an army of steel-helmeted policemen was required to disperse the surging crowd of red rioters, which formed and reformed to advance on the building. Several policemen were injured, and one without a steel helmet had his skull fractured by communists. Romania Ferguson, the colored girl, the human girl, advertised as speaker for this ILD meeting, who had been trained at Moscow's Institute for Red Agitators from all countries, was then teaching with Hassler, speaking in Tittle's church. Let me say this also. What I find to be very interesting is a lot of these communists appear to be white, or they're Jews that appear to be white, but they're not. They're colored man. They're human. Isn't it interesting that the blacks do not know that the Jews are the ones that enslaved them, and very few Americans even own slaves compared to Jews owning slaves. Isn't it interesting that these blacks will side with the dark side, even if it's not dark skin side, as long as it's dark spiritually or dark matter-wise? You see what I'm saying? Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you think this colored girl would be saying to these white people, "You whitey, you did all this stuff, you enslaved my peoples." Right? No, they're siding right up with them and working right along with them. So isn't it interesting that the devil's literal offspring is able to maneuver these blacks? They know how to maneuver them very well. Just like they know how to maneuver most of the world. You would think that the blacks wouldn't go for this, but somehow they do. Somehow they still want to kill whitey, but they're helping somebody that appears to be white as communists. Think about all these things. Think about what I said about siding with the dark side. When these Negroes are half white, half black, 99% of the time they side with the darker side, the black side. They don't side with whitey. Okay? She spoke of the Scottsboro case and then contrasted the wonderful life and race relations of Soviet Russia and said that the only way for 12 million colored people in the United States to obtain a similar paradise, quote unquote, was to unite with the white communist workers, quote unquote, in the revolutionary way out, quote unquote, and set up a Soviet government in the United States as the Russians had done. Pure sedition and in one violation, one direct violation of the Illinois sedition law. Now, isn't that interesting? You see? So now this brings me right back to Israel Cohen's racial program for the 20th century. And of course, it continues into the 21st, as you well know. Right? You know what it says? It says that Negroes would be promoted in the sports and entertainment fields until they could marry with whites, and then they would give this nation over to our cause, the party being the Communist Party. That's the party he's talking about. And so this was part of the racial agenda, the racial program for the 20th century, to get these Negroes to become communist. You see? You see it right here? Now you know what Israel Cohen's thing is all about. It's about race mixing, and it's about turning. See, they're trying to gather every family, every of the family of the nations of the coloreds, because they're all human, and they're putting them all against the whites, who are not human. We've been falsely told that we are human. We are not human. We are man and woman. So, she was followed by Albert Goldman. You know, Jesus, what kind of a name do you think that is? Who's laughing? Who are you laughing? She was followed by Albert Goldman, fellow teacher with herself, and Hassler at the Chicago School of Revolution. He said that it was a good thing that the capitalistic class in America were building fine homes and other buildings, as these would then be ready for the workers, quote unquote, to take over and occupy by revolution in from 6 months to a year. He said that only old people cared for churches in Russia now, that no one under 35 went to church, and as the old people would soon die off, churches would soon be extinct there. He pointed out that children could be taught anything and that The same thing could be accomplished in America by training the young generation against religion. I hope you're listening. A fine meeting to advertise in a Methodist church, right? Red cards were passed out at this meeting advertising a Scott Nearing lecture for the benefit of the Communist School of Revolution. Nearing's lectures had been advertised on white paper on the bulletin board at the Methodist church, a slight difference in paper. The police, who had so staunchly stood by while Romania talked sedition, at once attempted to disperse the patriotic crowd. Does that sound familiar to you? This is 1936, right? Did you hear that? See, right now there's Negroes burning down police stations and all kinds of things in Minneapolis and other places now too. And they've unleashed them. And what they're doing is the police are not stopping the Negroes from doing that stuff. They're attacking the protesters against it. Listen here again, please. The police, who had so staunchly stood by while Romania talked sedition, at once attempted to disperse the patriotic crowd that stopped to discuss the meeting outside. They were told to go back inside the church, but the group objected, saying they were not wanted inside the church. That the police allowed sedition inside, why not patriotism outside? When one policeman kept insisting that they must either go back inside the church or go home, some in the crowd said, "All right, we will go back in. Come on." But as they started to do so, a woman of the church, aided by a policeman, barred the door of the church and flourished her arm at me and said, "You shan't come in." I said, "Keep your hands off me," as she waved dangerously near my nose, and this flourishing falsely reported as hitting furnished the news, quote unquote, for the next burst of publicity, which, however, did some, which, however, did some really enlightening educational work. People who had been actively unaware of the Red Movement in Evanston started wondering and inquiring what it was all about. Soon after this, a patriotic group in Evanston published a pamphlet of authentic and indisputable information revealing the purposes of the organizations these ministers support. They distributed a copy to practically every home in Evanston at their own expense, with the result that, oh no, they received no praise whatever. On the contrary, the patriotic editor, who gave the situation in Evanston some truthful publicity and participated in preparing the pamphlet, lost his position owing, so he said, to the pressure brought by the Methodist Church supporters upon the wealthy patriotic men of the national reputation who owned the newspaper. You see the division, the weakening. You know who's doing it. The devil and his children. This is the same thing that's going on today. The same methods are being used. Is it any wonder that they don't want us to know about history? Isn't it incredible? I mean, this is just, it's just incredible that this is going on inside of a church. Every time we try to do something, they squelch it out. They get away with it somehow. So let's continue. And what did the dear, smart, successful American capitalist church trustees, who collect $85,000 or more each year to support Tittle's activities, do? They issued a public statement rebuking those who would interfere with the free, quote-unquote, speech of the Methodist Church pulpit, and expressing their staunch admiration for the support of Dr. Tittle. One feels like snickering at the thought of the triumph of socialism, which Tugwell in the National Religion and Labor Foundation bulletin says will literally do away with private business. One can picture with amusement these capitalists who support socialism having had their businesses done away with. Hello? Hello? What? What? What did it just say? What? that's happening today. Businesses are being done away with, aren't they? I mean, to this very minute? One feels like snickering on a read it again at the thought of the triumph of socialism, which Tugwell in the National Religion and Labor Foundation bulletin says will literally do away with private businesses. One can picture with amusement these capitalists who support socialism having had their businesses done away with. But the sad part is that we bourgeoisie and the hopes and futures of the present rising proletariat and of their and our children would all suffer as well with the sweeping away of the American system. That is why a public political propaganda pulpit becomes a public affair and deserves public and political opposition. The communists, Federated Press News Service, Federated Federal, what did I say? On March 29th, 1933, hello, stated, the trustees of the Unitarian Church of Evanston, where the International Labor Defense has been renting a hall for its fortnightly meetings, declare that they consider it against the spirit of the church to deny the use of its church house to any group of people who might wish to rent it for political, economic, social, or educational purposes, except those whose meetings would be objectionable on moral grounds, for those whose meetings might be definitely forbidden by the law of the land. The Reverend R. Lester Mondale of the church had been criticized by professional patriots for allowing the International Labor Defense, the ILD, to rent the church hall. Trustees of the First Methodist Church of Evanston similarly supported the Reverend E.F. Tittle when he was rapped by the patrioteers for permitting a civil liberties meeting at his church hall. The advisor of March 15, 1933 stated, quote, following the activities of the American Legion and Paul Revere clubs in exposing the affiliations and red supporting activities of the Reverend Ernest Fremont Tittle, pastor of the First Methodist Church, Evanston, Illinois, the government board of the church has issued a statement expressing absolute confidence in Dr. Tittle's Christian character. Yes. Bringing Negroes in to dance with the white woman. He's got a great Christian character, doesn't he? And his deep, unselfish devotion to his country and humanity. See, now that you know what I've told you, how do you read that now? His service, listen, his Christian character and his deep, unselfish devotion to his country and humanity. Colored man. See, now doesn't that make a little more sense? Because what he's doing is against white man, is against the nation. It's against the heavenly establishment. But it's pro-human. We note that these profound expressions of support come from Fred Sargent, president of the Northwestern Railroad, William A. Dyke, donor of Dyke Stadium to Northwestern University, R.C. Wybolt, and others. This is quite typical of the warning we have voiced continually in our bulletins, knowing little or nothing of the ramifications of communism and socialism. These captains of industry, listening to the siren voice of this misleader. You know what a siren is, right? It's a woman that sings and lures a man to his destruction, or a woman even. Unbelievable. The average man would sing pretty hard to get the support of the millions represented by these three men named above. The moral and financial support which is given the communist and socialist movements by the very class that would suffer most if these agencies should win control is one of the principal factors in the perpetuation of these movements in the country. Without this support, communism and socialism would collapse on their own weight. And I'm going to just stop right there. because I have to comment on that. You see, once again, the very people that are supporting the enemy, the offspring of the devil and the devil's minions, are the ones that are going to pay the price the most. Just like the Judeo-Christians are supporting the Jews. It's the same thing. And who's going to suffer the most? Just like the government who sold out unanimously, obviously, to these Jews are going to be the first ones killed. And the police officers that are enforcing these things are also going to be killed. And the military people are also going to be killed. And the intellectual people in America are going to be killed. If this happens, if the Father allows it to happen. This is just another repeat and another repeat and another repeat of the same thing going on over and over. You see that right here. Who's supporting these commies? The bourgeoisie. To their own destruction. Is it that this can be? How is this deception can be where we all support every link of our chain to enslave ourselves. We support our own slavery. We acquiesce to all kinds of things that bring us to tyranny. How is it this way? What is wrong? Will it ever turn around? I always have a good piece of advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole radio show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best as you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lives that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face.